I made a decision that I was not going to close the school and I was not going to be defeated by this disease. And I told myself mentally, and I prepped myself mentally, that cancer was going to be here, but it wasn't going to be a part of me.
Are you looking for a way to drive growth, sales, communication, and retention in your academy? Covar System's six-month program director course is designed to help members of your team thrive in the important role of program director. With step-by-step training, we will cover a wide range of topics, including prospect follow-up, overcoming objection, and securing enrollments. Our program will teach your team members to effectively communicate the values and benefits of martial arts, which can be a game changer in securing more enrollments at your academy. Our next six-month course starts on this date, so don't wait and visit our site, www.covarsystems.com, to get your team enrolled in the upcoming course. Again, that's www.covarsystems.com. Enroll now and get ready to see some real results in your business.
Welcome to the Satori Lifestyle Satori Masters Podcast, the ultimate resource for ambitious, hardworking school owners that want to get their business and their life to the next level. My name is Dave Kovar. I'm a lifetime martial artist, business owner, speaker, and author. My goal is to empower listeners with the knowledge and the tools they need to break through barriers and really get their business and their life to the next level. Thanks for watching and enjoy.
Welcome to the Satori Lifestyle Satori Masters Podcast. I'm your host, Dave Kovar, and I'm excited to have my good friend, Master Zai Luer, on the line with us today. How are you, ma'am?
I'm doing fabulous and only getting better. That's what my coach would say.
All right. Very cool. Well, Master Zai runs a school actually in the same town I'm in. And it's called Aya Taekwondo. And she's been in business for what, about 14 years? Does that sound about right?
It'll be 13 in June.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what. And I had the privilege just recently to go out and work with her team. And she just has a rock star team and does an amazing job. But why I thought it'd be really interesting to get Zai on the line is she's got really an interesting story, and she's overcome adversity. Like, she's been thrown a lot of curves and still been able to maintain this amazing attitude and run this amazing school. So I kind of want you just kind of share a little bit about, first off, how you got involved in martial arts and how you got your school opened.
Thank you so much for asking. So growing up as a kid, I always saw Bruce Lee and loved Bruce Lee. Then in college, I didn't do Taekwondo until I was in college.
Okay.
And signed up as an elective, fell in love with it my very first day. And I told myself that I would do martial arts for the rest of my life. And that's the seed of how I got into Taekwondo. And then from there,
where were you going to school?
I was at Sac State.
Oh, right. Very cool. Very cool. Mm-hmm.
I was actually majoring in political science with the focus and with the pre-law aspect, with the intention to become an attorney.
Okay.
Go that route. But fortunately, I fell in love with Taekwondo and never thought that I would be a Taekwondo instructor. But I look back at my notes and I have these bucket lists.
Okay.
And first bucket list was to be a business owner. And, you know, I tucked it away, didn't look at it until just recently. And I realized that I've been moving all the things that I've done has moved myself into that direction unconsciously. And so after college, I continued to do Taekwondo. And then it wasn't until recently, 13 years ago, my daughter was at a school and I applied for a yard duty position.
Okay.
I really wanted to impress the principal with my children's skills because I'm working with elementary school kids. And he saw that I had Taekwondo skills. I had taught at my grandmaster's school. Plus, I also have a long history of working with children in the youth ministry. So he was like, hey, why don't you just create a Taekwondo program here as one of our after school activities? And so I did. And so instead of being a yard duty, I end up being the Taekwondo director. And the rest is history. I'm here. He couldn't afford to keep me anymore. So I offer if I can teach privately after school. And I started the business. And then from there, we outgrew the place. And so we came over here to this current location that we have And we've been here ever since.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah. So, all right. So you open up, so you've been in that location. You kind of started without really expecting to run a martial arts school. And here you are, like you're doing it kind of as a hobby, but you're making some money. And then all of a sudden you're in a situation where you've got this momentum, things are working, and you decide to open up a commercial school, which was not your original intention. And then you had maybe a couple curves thrown at you between then and now. So kind of share the journey, give us some of the stuff that you had to overcome and how you did it.
Oh, man, it's so much. And so in 2015, my ex-husband and I opened the school together with it, everything being under my name. And then in 2015, he decided that this wasn't his vision anymore. So he left and I was left with the business and three young children. My baby at the time was 2.5 years old. And so you can imagine we are just about 4 years into it. And I'm now a single mom with three young children running a young business, still struggling just to get the business to go. And then exactly 1 year later, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And after 6 months of chemo, 28 sessions of radiation, they found out that it metastasized to my ovaries. So we had my ovaries removed, and they found out after that, hey, guess what? You now have colon cancer. And then after 6 months of chemo, and
this whole time you're running a school and raising three small kids while you're dealing with this.
Correct.
Oh man.
Right.
Incredible.
Yeah. And then my colon cancer metastasized to the liver. That's where I had a major surgery. And then I had to move out of my home so that I could stay with my family. And we were all crammed up into a single room with my three kids so that I could manage my health and run the school at the same time. So thankfully my parents were there to support me during that time. And after that, turns out that 6 months after that, they said, hey, guess what? Sorry to tell you this, but you now the cancer has moved into your lungs. And so now I have two spots in my lungs and they were growing. So my only option at that time was to have surgery. And we ended up having surgery. In total, I have 12 months of chemo, 9 surgeries, and 2 cancers, 2 mastitic cancers, all while trying to hold the business together and raising my three kids. And so
that's so incredible. Did I tell you I have a hangnail that gave me a hard time one time? So here's what I mean, I'm just fascinated by this. First off, what a friggin' warrior you are. Incredible. And, you know, we've known each other for a long time, and I knew you casually through that. We'd met a few times, but I followed you on Facebook. And you were so amazing with the way you documented what was going on in your attitude. And I'm sure it wasn't always easy, but you were battling, man. Like you were not good. I'm sure you had your quiet moments of doubt, no doubt about it. And there was probably a lot of late nights despair, but man, you got up every day, that's my impression, and rolled your sleeves up and said, I'm going to do what I can today. But how did you, like when you were doing that, did you have students covering classes? I mean, how are you keeping the doors open? How are you getting people to continue to pay their tuition, et cetera?
Right. So right from the beginning, I made a decision that I was not going to close the school and I was not going to be defeated by this disease. And I told myself mentally, and I prepped myself mentally, that cancer was going to be here, but it wasn't going to be a part of me. And I was going to take care of cancer on its own time, but I still had to put my life in front of me. So with that in mind, I made a schedule. At the beginning, I called a few friends to come and help with classes. And then after that, I was able to get a team of instructors, promoted internal instructors, and also hired an external instructor to come in to hold down the business and the day-to-day activities so that I could take the time to heal and to go into surgery, go into chemo when I needed to. But here's the thing, though. Every single session chemo sessions, I would come right to school. Because believe it or not, as much as everyone wanted me to go home and rest and recover, that was worse for me.
Got it.
I
wanted
to be here. Because being here, all of the support from the students, from the parents, all of the interactions, the activities kept my mind occupied.
Attention all martial arts professionals and business owners.
Prepare to ignite your passion and sharpen your skills.
Join us at PROMAC International, the ultimate gathering of martial arts excellence in Carmichael, California, from May 16th to the 18th.
Unlock new opportunities, forge lasting connections, and elevate your business to new heights.
Don't let this chance pass you by.
Secure your spot now. Go to promacconference.com. Let's shape the world of martial arts for the better.
That took away my pain. So I didn't focus on my pain, but I focused on what was in front of me. And those were smiley faces, high fives. How are you? What are you up to? And even during the hardest time of my life, I still had people coming to me and asking me how I can help them. So I was being useful during that time, even though I was struggling myself. I wanted to be here because this was my sanctuary. And growing up, I was in the youth ministry. So I always wanted to have a sanctuary for the youth. And so this Taekwondo school is my sanctuary. And when I built it with that intention in mind. So even despite all of the struggles that I was going through, I needed to be here because
the school basically, in some ways, I'm sure your family as well, it gave you a reason to deal with this to the same level. You have three small kids you want to take care of, you want to be there for, but also you have all those people depending on you. And it's also your happy place, right?
100%. You're correct.
Yeah, that's amazing. So you basically, and I'm sure, the logistics of, so you'd show up, you just got done with chemo, you get out of the hospital, you drive to the school, like, you know, how did you keep your energy up for that time? Did you like pass out from exhaustion at night? How did you make time to, you know, to be with your kids? I mean, how did that work out?
So I would, you know, because I wanted to be here and I study a little bit about what chemo does to you before I went into chemo. So I was strategic. I would do because I had classes Monday through Thursday.
Okay.
And I knew this going in. So I didn't have Friday classes and I had Friday classes, but they were not regular classes.
Right.
And then have Saturday classes because we knew that going into this was going to take a lot of energy. So what I did was I would plan all of my chemos on Fridays. All of surgeries were on Thursday or Fridays, or they were on, chemo was on Friday. So that gave me enough time to recover because chemo takes about 3 days for it to go through your system.
Okay.
And the first days you're exhausted. But if I can rest on the weekend, then by Monday, I'm good. I have my energy back.
Wow.
Get back on the floor. I may not be able to do all the regular teaching, but I'm here. And so on the very first day, when you get your chemo, I would get it at 9 o'clock in the morning after I drop off the kids. Then I would do about 4 to 5 hours of chemo and take a short little nap. And that first day of chemo, it's not as bad. You don't get all of the chemo symptoms until the next day. And then the third day, the fourth day, you start to come out of it. So because I knew this, I wanted to make sure I utilized my time well. And that's how I tackled it.
It's really amazing that you know so much, unfortunately, about chemo that you actually know how to time this. Like who would know this, right? Unless someone had actually been through it like that. That's incredible. Yeah. So you had a grand total of 12 months of chemo and so you were diagnosed like 9 years ago, it sounded like. And so
the exact, yeah.
Okay. And you battled this, like, where are you now in this process?
So right now breast cancer is in remission. And yes. And then colon cancer is kind of like in remission, but there is a small nodule in one of my right lungs. And so they're keeping an eye on it. It's not doing anything at the moment. So we're content. I'm at annual checkup right now and annual.
Wow. That's amazing that you're already, they trust it so much that it's annual. That's incredible. So now going forward, I know you're so, you just ooze of vibrancy and health and positivity. So what is your routine? Like what do you do to, you know, you, cause you still got a small business just on your own. Let's imagine, forget kids, forget cancer, just running. And honestly, it's probably harder for, you know, for a woman in general is look differently. Like, by the way, I heard a statistic that women business operators that open up are 5 times more likely to be successful, by the way, for whatever it's worth. And I totally get that, right? But so, you know, you just without the cancer, without the kids, it's still pretty hard to run your own business, right? But throw all that on there, it just adds a ton to it. So what do you do to keep yourself on track and motivated and you know, just a great example that you've become?
Well, you know, first of all, I have people like yourself who are mentors and coaches and examples, leaders that I look to, for example, to follow. So I'm grateful for you for being one of those people in my life. So thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.
So I have, you know, I have a routine. I'm a very much a structure routine kind of a person. Okay. And as long as I follow those routines, then I keep myself on track. I have goals that I set for myself. And again, as long as I keep my eyes on those goals and I follow my routine, then I can follow them. Sometimes, you know, life happens and I fall out of those tracks, but then I have, again, coaches like yourself. I have a lot of mentors in different areas of my life. Thankfully, I learned early on that you need those people in your life to help you. And so as soon as I can get somebody into that space to take over that area of my life, I'll put someone there and give them the authority to, or give them the power.
You know, someone to kind of hold you accountable a little bit, right, and keep you on track. I know we all need that. Well, right, what I think you do really well too, is that you kind of know yourself. Like last week we were talking about, not only are you running martial arts school, but you do speaking presentations, you're writing a book, you've got a nonprofit. I think you got a lot of stuff going on, right? And I'm going, well, so I was sharing with kind of what I was thinking, well, why don't you put some time for the book, like an hour a week or yeah. And you kind of looked at me like, buddy, I know me, and this is what I need to do. I need to lock myself in a room for 3 days, and that's how I operate, and that's how you've gotten a lot done in the past. But the whole point is that you kind of, it's really important, because a lot of times people see somebody else doing something, or they get advice, and they're looking at it from a different filter, and they think they have to do it, be it like them. But you do it, it feels like a really good job of knowing, no, I know what works for me. I love the concept, but this is how I'll take that advice, but this is how I'm going to make it work, because this is how I operate.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And I think that there's a lot to that. And I've tried to do the same. It's kind of like, I know who better than yourself to give you advice. So something that years ago, and we've all have challenges. I can't even begin to compare my challenges with your challenges. I wouldn't even, but there's a phrase, your problems are bigger I can see, but mine are happening to me. Meaning we all have to deal with stuff, right? And I remember one time going through this, and we were really struggling with the business. We'd overextended ourselves, and it was touch and go if we were going to stay in business. And man, I just had all this self-doubt and so much of my self-image, right or wrong, is involved in what I do for a living. And it was like, I was just being threatened. And I remember I had this manic evening where I had this clear vision, and I wrote down a kind of a mantra to myself. It was like, I was feeling really good about things that I knew would be valuable for me when I was low. And I still know it and say it, but it's kind of like, it seems like perhaps if you ever done anything like that, like, all right, when I'm feeling low, this is what I know I need to hear.
Mm-hmm. I do. What I do is the word that I tell myself all the time is, I always tell, I can do this. I can do this. You can do this. So I always say I'm my biggest cheerleader. And no one's going to cheer for me when I'm by myself in the dark. No one's going to cheer for me when I'm in those scan rooms. No one's going to cheer for me when I'm laying down on that stretcher or in the surgery. So I have to talk to myself and cheer myself on. And I do a lot of counting in my head. So I'll count one, two, three. And then from there, I get either get myself up or I tell myself, you can do this. This time will pass. And so when I was a little girl, my mom used to always tell me in my head, or she used to always tell me when I'm going through difficult times that, hey, so in Hmong is gigeng na, that means you can do it, right? In translation. And so I always hear her talking to me in my head that, hey, you can do this, you can do this. And so that's become a part of my voice. So when I go through hard times, I know it's very simple and it's hard sometimes when it's you telling yourself, but I'm my own cheerleader.
Yeah. Well, and I think now, you know, wisdom comes from experience remembered, right? And you've had so many experiences and you've overcome so much that gives you a certain amount of confidence and, you know, to be able to know, okay, I can do this. It's not just words, but they're great words, by the way. And there's power in simplicity, you know, like, okay, that simple mantra that you can do this, especially when you've said that, when you doubted what you're going through and then you got through it. And now that gives you kind of a what more confidence the next time. I think what a lot of times people do is they doubt what we can accomplish. One of the mastery mindsets that we teach is I can always do more than I think I can. And how many times in my life have I doubted my ability to do something only to be successful at it? And we all have. So I think what's important for people to do is to take inventory of past successes, especially when you doubted them. Because if you can remember those, then the next time you're threatened by something or doubted by something, you can remember past times. And that's going to keep you kind of on track in the current situation. So what do you got going forward? What are you working on right now? Where's the future going to bring you?
I'm, you know, like you said, my best days are in front of me, and they are. So we just got into the Ascend program, which is a great thing, having somebody else look at my numbers. And so I'm combing through my numbers. So in terms of the business, we are going to grow. We're remodeling, putting changes in the school and growing our numbers. So excited about that. We are tweaking our curriculum and changing our testing so that we can create more of a community with our students. So we're excited about that. I got a new book I got a book on the way, trying to finish that. And then I'm now speaking more and getting the chance to share my stories out there. So, and it'll be our first year giving away a $5,000 scholarship to a senior that is going to go off to college. So we're doing great.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Yeah, no, man, that's incredible. And when it comes to the business, you know, we haven't really, you touched on that, and it's great having you in Ascend, by the way. For those of you guys listening, Ascend is our mastermind group. It's for kind of high level school operators. But one of the things that I think is important if you're a professional martial arts instructor is that, you know, just being charismatic and, you know, having good curriculum and having the business basics, that's super important. That'll get you so far. But to the next level, it's the details. It's all those little things, right, that really make a big difference. And that's where you're focusing now, and I just know the results you're going to get from it, because I know once you get it in your head, you're gonna take action on it.
That's right, 100%.
All right, well, good. Well, hey, it's been a pleasure having you on the show, and I wish you nothing but the best of success. Your story is inspirational, and I'm honored to know you, and I look forward to continuing to hear great things from you.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me and allowing me to share my story today too. God bless you.
Bless you as well, and have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Are you a martial arts instructor looking to improve your teaching skills and build a strong team of future instructors? Well, look no further than the Satori Alliance, an international association of martial arts instructors. Our mission is to positively impact the global martial arts community by establishing a shared level of martial arts instruction, professionalism, and continuous learning. With our instructor certification program, you'll gain the confidence, communication skills, and classroom management techniques to run a professional and well-run martial arts floor of any age group. We invite you to schedule a free consultation with one of our program directors who can evaluate your instructor team's size, schedule, and training content. We'll outline the Satori Alliance master steps that have helped build and maintain strong teams of instructors. To learn more about the Satori Alliance and schedule your free consultation, please visit our website at www.thesatorialliance.com/podcast. That's SATORIALIANCE.com/podcast. Join our community of passionate martial arts instructors today.
Thank you for tuning in today to our podcast. I hope you found it valuable and inspirational. To stay connected, please subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you go for your podcasts. If you enjoyed today's show, please give us a 5-star review. And we really sincerely would appreciate some feedback. Your feedback helps us to create high quality content that will help others in the future. If you'd like to follow me, you can go to Dave Kovar on Facebook or Hanchi Dave Kovar on Instagram. Thank you so much for watching, and I'll see you on next episode.